Well, I guess the campaign is really going to get into high gear now. Well, you understand there's only 18 days left, and I can tell you that there's no way I could have gotten into higher gear than I have been for the last 8.5 months. But I did enjoy the breakfast, and I want to tell you that it's my firm conviction that there are many people in Oregon with their own special interests, and they have really been ignored. It seems to me, and I want to be as fair as I can, that the only ones in the state of Oregon that have any merit at all, that have any brains, that really know anything about anything, go backpacking in the wilderness. And everyone that doesn't do that is some kind of a second-level citizen. And so I want you to know, in fact, that I happen to believe that we as Oregonians do have our special interests, and that we should be listened to so that we can enjoy those special interests. The fact that it doesn't happen to be my own really is not significant. I have my own sport, my own hobby, and I enjoy it. And I don't feel any less of a citizen because I have mine that's not the same as theirs. So when I tell you what I did, it comes not only from a belief that I just expressed, but it comes from an understanding and a belief that we as Oregonians really are entitled to be listened to. And that's really what my whole campaign's all about. I think that Oregonians are fine people. And I think that there's a place for all Oregonians and their interests. And there are some interests that are the same. It's rather universal. And some that are different. As I travel the state, they say to me, well, what are the different problems out there? And I said, well, there are problems that are mutually the same everywhere you go. And then, of course, there are problems in, whether it's in Ontario and their 9th Street, or Bend, Oregon and their bypass 3rd Street, or whether it's a particular crop in Central Oregon or Eastern Oregon, or the cattle business or the tourism. You know, there happens to be special interests wherever you go. And a governor of the state should be governor of all of the state and all of those interests. And I want you to know that I feel very, very strongly about what I'm now telling you. I've been in the Oregon legislature 20 years. But I've been an observer of the process, as well as a participant in it. And things have been happening that really bother me very much. But the thing that's the most tragic of all is the fact that we have been isolated from our government, genuinely so. And those who want us isolated are even creating barriers to make sure that we cannot get in. After the first debate that Bob Straub and I had at the City Club, there was a headline in the Oregonian. And the headline said there was a difference between Bob Straub and Vic Atiyah. And you can bet your boots there is a difference. As a matter of fact, for the first time in a long time, we really have a genuine choice to make that I believe is a serious one. And I want to talk about what I've been saying on this campaign and what the governor has been saying, and I want you to decide then which one of us you believe should be governor. And I'm not going to give you my opinion, and of course I can do that too. I'm going to give you public record information, quotations out of the newspaper, actually documented information. I think you can then make up your own mind as to who should be governor of this state. Let's start off first with when I announced for governor of the state of Oregon. That was a year ago. Doesn't seem possible now, but it's been a year ago. During that period of time, I've been in every single county in the state of Oregon. Been very close to 40,000 miles inside the state of Oregon. In the air and on the ground. But I announced that I was going to run for governor. Roger Martin was a candidate then, if you remember, and Tom McCall was expected to be one. Let me take a little aside here and tell you that it surprises me how many people were sure I was going to win the election after the election. But nonetheless, we knew that we had a chance and we kept at it. But I announced in October that I was going to run for governor, and I talked about my vision of Oregon and what I would hope to see in the state of Oregon. And then I said that property tax relief was the number one issue. During the course of the campaign, all through January, February, March, and April, and into May, I repeated that, along with some other things I'm going to talk to you about, that property tax relief was the number one issue in the state. And before the primary was ended, I described a specific plan to deal with that subject, and that included a limitation as well. Now, the only thing I want you to remember about that is the fact that I started off by in October saying that in a public statement as a candidate for governor, and that I had come up with a specific plan to deal with that, and that was before ballot measure 13 in California. So remember that. In addition, I said that jobs were very important. But when I related to jobs as I traveled Oregon, whether I was in John Day or Fossil or Burns or Lakeview or Ontario or Medford or Grants, it didn't make any difference where I was. I was talking about jobs in those communities. And that's important to remember. And I related it this way, and many of you will know immediately what I'm trying to say. I was impressed with the job the state of Oregon did in attracting Wacker Chemical to this state. And I saw the city of Portland, the county of Multnomah, and the state of Oregon all join as a team effort to make sure that this area got Wacker Chemical. But the thing I haven't seen is the city, county, and state joining as a team to make our job as small business people possible. Those of us that are here, those of us that have paid our taxes, have contributed to our communities and United Funds in a variety of other ways. In fact, they were teaming up against us. So when I talked about jobs, I said as governor of Oregon, my first priority was going to be with those businesses that were here, and they are all over Oregon, and that we would have a team effort to make sure they understood that we were interested in them providing jobs for Oregonians. Energy was high on my priority list. I said that I would absolutely not stand for decommissioning of Trojan, and I would say so clearly as governor of the state of Oregon, and that Pebble Springs is in the hands of the Energy Facility Siting Council, and I hope that they decided in favor of it, the nuclear power plant. But I said my 4 years as governor was going to be related to added energy in the form of the alternatives. And just to run through them quickly, those that would immediately come to mind are solar, geothermal, methane, wood waste. There are many of them. And that we would encourage Oregonians through incentives to get them to use these alternatives. But in addition, and I think even more important, was added research money at our colleges and universities to bring the cost down and to make the process better. That was to add to our energy supply. And that would be my 4 years as governor of the state of Oregon. I talked about efficient and effective government, but not in the abstract. I've been there when many, many things occurred, many changes in Oregon law, much of it dramatic, when we created the DEQ, created the LCDC, the Energy Department, Human Resource Department, Department of Commerce, the Bottle Bill, the Billboard Bill, take all of the environmental law. I was there and there early. I helped write the Clean Air and Water Law in the state of Oregon. As a matter of fact, to relate it even closer to what you know about, I was there when we wrote the law on boat registration. I was in the House Committee of Fish and Game, and that's where it was. Bill Holmstrom was the chairman. When that came down, and in fact, we passed it. I've been very familiar with the whole process of this law and what's happened during the years and where the money goes. But you see, I can talk to you familiarly about that specific subject and so many others. So when I talk about efficient and effective government, it isn't in the abstract. It's the fact that I know about it. I'm fully aware of what government's all about. I know the things that we had hoped for and the things that needed changing. And I could see no changes coming about. And so when I tell you that I plan to have an efficient and effective government, I'm not kidding you, because I know what needs to be done. And two of the things that assures me that I can assure you that it will be done is the fact that I have credibility with the Oregon legislature, and that comes from my 20-year experience, and I'm very proud of that. They know I don't play games, and they know I don't play politics. And we can trust each other. Not always agree, but trust each other. I have more credibility with a democratically controlled legislature than Bob Straub has. And take my word from that, because that's where I come from, in the Oregon legislature. And probably even more important is that I have great credibility with state employees. And if I'm going to do anything in state government, it must be done through them. And I have confidence and trust in them. And they have even more frustration than I do. So I wasn't taking it lightly. And when I say efficient and effective government, it isn't the abstract, the typical thing that you hear. I know what needs to be done. Let me tell you, there's some rascals down there in Salem. They've been there a long time. I know who they are, and they won't be there when I'm governor of the state of Oregon. Now, the only problem with that is that they'll probably go on welfare and your tax dollar will take care of it. That's among the changes that are going to take place. But let me tell you something. The most significant thing I can tell you tonight, and the most significant difference between myself and Bob Straub, and I'm going to tell you flat out and as clear as I can, is that I believe in the people of the state of Oregon, and that you, and not just you in this room, all Oregonians will feel that they finally have retrieved their government. Now, why do I say that to you? Let's now go back at the record and look at it again. And here's something that I want you to remember very, very vividly as you can, because it's important. Let's now go back to January of 1977. The Oregon legislature started. I introduced a bill to return the $170 million surplus back to the taxpayer. I believed we as taxpayers overspent, and I also knew that if that was not returned, the governor was going to spend that money. The governor of the state of Oregon, Bob Straub, said that's irresponsible. Remember that. Remember, in January of 1977, the governor of the state of Oregon said returning a surplus was irresponsible. I want you to hang on to that, because I'm going to come back to it. I introduced a bill that would index income. Now, that's a fancy word that says that you and I are getting clipped because of inflation. And Oregonians, many of whom are receiving salary increases in relation to cost of living, and cost of living is inflation. So they get more money, and the Oregon Department of Revenue taxes us on that more money, and many people are bumped into new tax brackets. As a matter of fact, Oregon received, the general fund of the state of Oregon received $140 million from us as taxpayers just because of inflation. No other reason. I said, that's not fair. Indexing now is becoming better known. I introduced the bill. Absolutely no comment from the governor's office. No support. We didn't even have a hearing on that bill. Now remember this. If we had returned the $170 million, the governor wouldn't have spent it. If we would have had indexing and passed that bill, we wouldn't be looking at now known $250 million surplus, and I'm absolutely confident it's going to be over $350 million by the time the legislature meets. And we in Oregon have really been clipped for a long time. But we have no support at all. One comment, the governor said irresponsible. Now let's move through October, and I told you what I said when I announced it. Let's get into the primary, and I told you what I was saying about property tax relief and other matters. And I won the primary election. No comment from the governor at all about holding down government spending. No comment about property tax relief at all. None whatsoever. All through that period of time, all through 1977, all through the primary of this year. Then we come to July of this year. Now we hear the first word out of the governor. Ballot measure number 6 is a reality. The governor says I'm against the principle and the language of ballot measure number 6. Now let's go back and examine what the governor just said. What is the principle of ballot measure number 6? The principle is this: to limit the income of government. That's number 1. The other principles in ballot measure number 6 is to limit the skyrocketing increase in assessed value and to limit the charge, 1.5%, against that value. That's the principle of 6, and that's what the governor said he was against. Then silence again. Nothing. Until what I call the fateful 3-day trip that the governor of the state of Oregon took in early August. He came back to Salem and he said, and it's quoted in the newspaper, "Property taxes are more prominent in the minds of the people than I thought." August 10th, 1978, the governor just found out we had a problem. Now, this is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. As a matter of fact, I said to myself when I read it, everybody in Oregon knows it except Bob Straub. You have to be a hermit. And that's what he is. He's a hermit in the Capitol building in Salem, Oregon. But let's move a little further now. He calls a special session of the Oregon legislature. And he said, "I'm not going to pay any attention to what 200,000 Oregonians did in that California law." He keeps talking about a California law like the Californians came over and signed that petition. That was 200,000 Oregonians that signed that. What makes something Oregon? 200,000, that's the greatest number of signatures ever on a ballot measure. But he calls it a California bill. We're not going to go that way. I got another way. I got a whole new way of doing it. You know what the governor said? Let me give you a conversation. You come up to me real excited and say, "I've got a great idea for controlling government and government spending." And I look at you and say, "What is it?" And you tell me, and I say, "That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Now let me tell you my idea." Well, that's what the governor did. What the governor should have said, "You know, that's not too bad, but there's some problems with this, and I think this is the way we ought to deal with it." And now you're an ally working with Oregonians. But no, the governor, he didn't. First, he just discovered we had a problem. And second, when he did discover it, he didn't quite know what to do with it, so he came up with a new idea. But now let me tell you something else about the governor of the state of Oregon. I read in this morning's newspaper something, and I want to tell you about it. The governor said this. I'm quoting now. I have to read this because it's fresh. The other quotes I remember. He was asked if neither ballot measure 6 or 11 passed, what would he do? And now I'm reading a quotation. "I would not favor or promote through the legislature another measure. What I would do is use the income tax surpluses in various ways to return the money to the people who owned homes and rent. It's no longer irresponsible to do that. But remember this, if Bob Straub is elected governor of Oregon and 6 and 11 do not pass, he is still saying to us, 'I haven't heard you folks. I'm not going to do anything.' Now, I'm not satisfied that's who we want as governor of Oregon, but let me ask you another question. I'll let you answer it. Do you think that Bob Straub would have called a special session of the Oregon legislature if there had not been a ballot measure number 6? Now, you answer that yourself. As a matter of fact, do you think that Bob Straub would have called a special session if there were no ballot measure number 6 and he were not behind in the polls? Well, I'll give you my answer to that, and I'll tell you that is editorial. No way would he, because even now he doesn't quite understand what our problem is. I've asked the question many times, and it's important to relate because it's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. That when I'm asking to represent you, or any politician is asking to represent you, in fact, they'd better represent you. And I said to audiences, why do we have to overreact in order to get government to act. We shouldn't have to in this system. So let's go back to where I started. That we are being blocked out. That we are not being listened to. No one is hearing us. That's why we have to overreact. Government will not act at all. They think everything's hunky-dunky from their view. But it's not. And so I want to close with how I feel and so deeply feel. I tell you that I'm running for governor of Oregon because I want you to feel government is yours. I want to. And it has nothing to do with me as a person or one wanting to be governor. That comes because of my deep conviction about this system of government. And if we continue going the way we're going, we will not continue as a democracy. There will be no tricentennial celebration. That may sound awful exotic to you, but I believe it deeply. We have to capture our government back again. And you're going to do it through me. When you read the papers on November 8th that Atiyah won as governor of Oregon, you should each individually read it to say that you won as governor of the state of Oregon. And what I want to tell you is this, that it's not time for Atiyah, which is what it says here. It's time for you. And I mean that. Because I'm going to represent you. And I'm not kidding about that as either, because I've been listening. And I don't have to have a 2x4 to get my attention. And I want to tell you something else. There's a lot of work to be done between now and Election Day, which is 18 days from now. I have 18 campaigning days, 17 tomorrow. But here's what I want you to do. You have to make a decision. We have a choice in the state of Oregon. And we think to ourselves the choice is Bob Straub or Vic Atiyah. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think it this way. The choice is not Bob Straub and Vic Atiyah. The choice is Bob Straub or you. And if you want to win on November 7th, then we all have to get to work. And that's what I really want you to do. Because now is the time when the election is going to be decided. So if you want to win governor of Oregon, you're in the race, we are in it together, and we want to win because we want our government back again, and it's time for all of us. Thank you very much.
Senator is willing to answer two or three questions. Any of you who might have some specific questions to address him?
Mr. Tia?
Yes.
What's your stand on five? I think that's the one that will be the measure of the
That's ballot measure number four. That makes it easier to create PUDs. Is that the one you're talking about? I'm not supportive of the measure. It's not that I really don't. I'm not interested in making PUDs a little easier to achieve, but I think that we're deluding ourselves at the present time until a court case is decided. Bonneville doesn't think they have to let in a new PUD, and PUDs themselves will be fighting it, because if they do let a new PUD in, that means they'll get less power, because Bonneville has already told them that they will not get any more power after 1983. The second thing that disturbs me as a consumer now is that if there is a PUD created, they're going to have to buy the capital assets of the investor-owned utility. So I'm going to have to pay for that all over again, in addition to that lower Bonneville rate if I get it. So I think it's just kind of a deception, and I don't think it's too bad to go through a little more difficult process to create one, so I don't support it. Yes.
Senator, can 6 really be adopted to meet the requirements of Oregon?
Absolutely. The question is, can 6 be adopted to be improved? I just changed your question a little. And I said absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind. I have to take you first to the step in July we talked about a 6 or a 13 in a very academic way until all of a sudden one day it was a reality. I'm saying the same thing. If 6 passes, it is a reality. We no longer can talk about a whole lot of things. There it is. In addition, I have said from the very beginning that their changes are needed, and I've described exactly what they were. I said as governor of the state of Oregon, I would promote that, and that the Oregon legislature, I'm sure, is ready for it, because a cleaned up 6 failed in the House of Representatives by a 30-30 vote. And even I, as the opponent of the governor of the state of Oregon, when I submitted my minority report, I got 11 votes. I needed 16. So I'm saying that can happen. And then I'm positive Oregonians, with all that massive political pressure out there, teachers, state employees, cities, counties, editorial boards all over, there's no doubt in my mind Oregonians will make the changes. I'm satisfied. The governor, incidentally, does not think so. He thinks that's, as a matter of fact, he's used the word hogwash, which also further proves to me, you don't mind if I get a shot at once in a while at this guy, also proves to me that he doesn't trust the Oregon legislature or the people of the state of Oregon.
Senator, what problems do you anticipate if you have a Democratic legislature to battle with?
What problems would I face if I have a Democratic legislature to face? Well, I can safely say that Senate will be Democratic, but with friends like we have out here, the Brennans and others, that's not a hard-bond guarantee in terms of the House. It might be Republican. But let's, on the just outside chance that it's Democratic in the House as well, I have no doubt that I'll be able to work with it considerably better than the governor does. I know that I can. Yes?
Senator, you have plans on reducing the amount of state employees and controlling the rapid growth of state government?
I have plans. And my plan, I want to tell you, I will answer it this way, that my plan is to make sure that government services are delivered the most efficient and effective way to the person that's supposed to receive that service. And I mean, we have some government services related to boating, automobile licenses. It isn't just a human resource kind of thing. And I'm sure that once I do that, all the rest will happen. My goal is not just canning people in state government. Certainly I know this, and I can assure you that we're going to control the growth of government without any doubt whatsoever. And then in terms of reduction, I'm going to plan to work in that direction, but my goal is delivering the service efficiently and effectively, and I know I can do that, and the other will just happen. And I'm just convinced it can be done. Yes?
If Proposition 6 passes, will we become a fee-oriented state like California now is tending toward, and will that then, in our particular industry here, tend to be the legislature looking at the boating industry to boost up the registration fees so that there's enough money to operate the state?
If ballot measure number 6 passes and Bob Straub is elected governor, my answer is yes. And I'm not, again, just taking it out of the air, because I have seen his report to his executive department and sent to the Ways and Means Committee, in which he has said, and I wish I had it here, but I don't have it, it's in my other book, that he's saying to them, look to the user fee category. He's saying that already. I will tell you, if I'm elected governor, the answer is no, and I'll tell you why, because I will make the recommendation for changes in 6. The cost or loss will be considerably less than anything ballot measure number 11 or all the minority reports, and I'm confident we won't have to do that. So it's even more reason why you should elect me governor of Oregon.
One more question?
More philosophical question. Of the 50 states, is there a state government which you could recognize as being the best of all these different states? Is the state and other governments?
Well, best is hard to really.
Most efficient?
I understand in reading that Maine has done a good job, and their governor said, I'm going to run for 4 years and then I'm going to quit, and he did that and quit. And apparently he's done a tremendous job.
What is different about Maine?
They elected the right governor. Yes, no, it is really an answer. Believe me, let's understand what a governor is supposed to do. In this process of ours, we have, as you know, 3 branches, judicial, legislative, and executive branch. But let's take the legislative and executive. A legislature passes laws and says to a governor, here, you run it. That's the way it goes. We created the Department of Environmental Quality. We created it, and it said, now here, governor, is the Department of Environmental Quality. You appoint a director, you appoint the commission members, get the thing in gear, run it. We created the LCDC. I said, now here, governor, you run it. So it really wasn't a facetious answer, although it was a correct one, that in fact, a governor can make a tremendous amount of difference. We don't really realize what a power a governor has. You realize it. Let me, again, point it out to you right here. One of the most powerful tools a governor has is appointing members of boards and commissions. If I prove it no other way, I prove it that way. And so, in fact, electing the right governor is very important. I want to thank you all for feeding me well, Dolores and I. I have to tell you, we don't get this every day on the campaign, and it's very good. And thank you for your warmth and hospitality. And remember, if you want to be elected on November 7th, you got a lot of work to do between now and then. Thank you very much.
Senator, thank you.
Legislative session, I urge property tax relief. We got a measure of it. We got a measure of it. I mean, for all citizens, when in basic school support, we return some of the money as an offset. I would expect you to understand exactly what that means. That's our income tax parlance, but the point is that there's a direct offset on property taxes, a small part of it. After the session, I was disappointed that we hadn't addressed property taxes. You'll have to take my word for that. But now let's get back into the noted public record. In October of last year, 1 year ago, I announced I was going to run for governor. And I said many things about my hopes and visions for Oregon, but I remember clearly saying that property tax relief was the number one issue in the state of Oregon. All during my primary campaign, I repeated that, along with some other things in regard to jobs and energy and education. But before the primary was over, I announced a specific plan to solve property taxes, which included a limitation. Now remember, I'm telling you what I said and what I did and what is public record. The only thing that the governor said in respect to this particular facet of our society was that it was irresponsible to return the $170 million surplus in January of last year. Let's move now into July. This is now 18 months later. The next statement the governor made in regard to any position on this subject, when ballot measure number 6 became a reality, he said, quote, I'm against the principle and the language of ballot measure number 6. Now understand what principle he's against. He is against the principle of holding down the skyrocketing increase in assessed value of property. He's against that principle. And he's against the principle of limiting the charge, which in ballot measure number 6 is 1.5%, against that property. So he's against that principle, he said so. I said I was for the principle, but I was worried about the language. In early August, the governor of the state of Oregon took a 3-day trip in 7 communities in Oregon. It may have been in 10 years. He went back to Salem, and he said, and again I'm giving you a quotation, and I want you to listen to this. Listen carefully to what the governor of Oregon said on August 10, 1978. Quote, property taxes are more prominent in the minds of people than I thought. An incredible statement from the governor of the state of Oregon, who had just discovered a little over 2 months ago that we had a problem with property taxes. I'm not giving you my opinion, I'm telling you what the governor of Oregon said. I thought it was important to deal with the principle of ballot measure number 6 and clean it up, and I've always said that, and I'm not going to get into that part of it, but the part I want to get into is this, and a significant difference between the governor and myself, in addition to the fact that I knew Oregonians had a problem
before there was a ballot measure 13 in California. There were 200,000 Oregonians that signed that petition. And I thought that they were entitled to be heard by those of us who are asking to represent Oregonians. And I said that we ought to take their principle and we ought to fix it up and make it work. And I think that's what they want us to do. And I still think that's what they want us to do. But what I want to tell you is this. How many people are 200,000 Oregonians? Let me tell you. The number of people that sign ballot measure number 6 amounts to every man, woman, and child in Eugene, Grants Pass, Medford, Klamath Falls, and Pendleton. Every man, woman, and child. That's what 200,000 Oregonians represents. But that is a word that I heard long before the government even commented on property taxes. Well, that's not the only reason you should elect me, although I think it's an important reason, because you remember I said that the people must be heard, that people must believe government is theirs, and we cannot continue and make people believe that government is theirs if the leader of the state of Oregon doesn't recognize and listen to us. And I have. And it's not just a campaign time listen. In my 20 years as a legislator, I've worked at listening to people. So let me tell you, and incidentally, I'll take some questions from anyone. Let me tell you what I've been telling everybody throughout the state of Oregon, and I mean it sincerely. First of all, when you read the headlines on November 8th, that a Tier 1 governor of the state of Oregon, I want you really to read it, that you won governor of the state of Oregon. And my slogan is, it's time for a Tia. But really the slogan is, it's time for you. Thank you very much. Now, anyone may ask a question. Yes, I'll repeat the question so you all can hear it. And I have to tell you this. In answer-